All due. Welcome again to the CVAC Transportation Committee meeting. This is our meeting for Monday, August 29, 2022. It's 10 a.m. Just a reminder to the public that you can find the link on the CVAC homepage in order to access this transportation meeting online. And again, we are complying with the state law that allows us to have these virtual meetings. I'm going to go ahead and call the meeting to order, and I'm going to ask the clerk if we can go ahead and get our roll call.
Thank you, Chair. Agua Caliente, City of Blythe.
Here.
City of Cathedral City.
Here.
City of Coachella.
Here.
City of Desert Hot Springs.
Present.
City of Indian Wells.
Here.
City of Indio. She is here. She's connecting for the record. City of La Quinta.
Here.
City of Palm Desert.
Here.
City of Palm Springs.
Present.
City of Rancho Mirage.
Here.
County of Riverside.
Here.
And I see Agua Caliente has joined us as well. Chair, you have a quorum.
Thank you so much. We'll move on now to public comments. These are public comments on agenda items. At this time and place for members of the public to address the Transportation Committee on agenda items, is there anyone that would like to speak to the committee?
Chair, we did not receive any written comments, and I do not see any hands raised.
Very good. We'll move on to item number four. This is Chair and Executive Director's announcements. Tom, any announcements?
I don't have any.
I will have one announcement just to let everybody know and that the I-10, the washout that occurred on the I-10 over last week, it's been, the detour lines have been fixed, and so we do have eastbound traffic. And Joey, I see you on here, and I know that that's something that you care deeply about, and we do have a connection in life, so. Very just, if we could just make a note to Caltrans and just thank them for their effort, Tom, because that was quite the video of the washout that occurred out there. Move on now to Joey, if you want to say a word
too? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, they worked very hard trying to get it put back together. And I feel sorry for a lot of those people out there. A lot of them was out there and waiting in line after they got one lane going for 4, 5, 6 hours. Bad deal. So a lot of people are coming around 78. Some were coming the back way through Rice. So thank God it's open again. Thank you.
Very good. We'll move on now to item number five, the consent calendar. This is approved the minutes of June 6, 2022. Is there a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
There's a motion by Raj. Is there a second?
Second, Cathedral City.
Cathedral City seconds. All those in favor, signify by saying aye and raising your hand.
Aye.
Motion, any no's? Seeing none, we move on now to discussion action items. This is a presentation. 7 Dirty Little Secrets of CVAC Transportation Program. And this is Tom. Mm-hmm. Tom, I do want to welcome any members from the executive committee that maybe join us for this presentation. I do see Mayor Evans on the panel list, and that's all I see at this point.
I thought I'd seen Wayman Gregory. Sorry, Wayman Furman as well. Sorry.
Mayor Furman, welcome as well, if you were on.
All right. I presume my screen is up and running. Chair Hernandez and honorable members, give you maybe a 15-minute presentation, and I don't like spending your time with me talking to you too often, but our county supervisor suggested I do so. I gave a presentation to the Institute of Transportation Engineers back on June 26th, which happened to be the same day as our General Assembly, and the supervisor was in attendance, and he suggested that I give this presentation to all of you as well. And for some of you, you'll see some slides that are very familiar because I do a kind of a CVAG 101 oftentimes for new council members. You might remember that overview that I gave you in some cases many, many years ago. So with that, I actually shared the stage with Paul Tolet. I'm not sure exactly why, but we were both asked to be luncheon speakers at this event in Palm Springs. And Paul and I chatted about it in advance, and we linked the presentations a little bit. But I know that the audience was far more interested in my presentation about transportation policy than his about these little music festivals that Golden Voice does all over the world. So I kind of made fun of that. I'm going to talk about this, and he gets to talk about that. And on to this. I called it the 7 Dirty Little Secrets so that I can get the attention of people like Mayor Ted Weil, who only pays attention to it if it has a catchy name like that. And I started with a little background on, of course, where CVAG is, your communities in Blythe, and to our friends in Blythe. Our transportation program, of course, is largely focused in the Coachella Valley because Blythe has its own program through RCTC. And I point out, for those of us that travel somewhere and somebody asks us where the Coachella Valley is, sometimes this is a frame of reference. More often than not these days, this is a frame of reference. And at least when I came to the Coachella Valley 25 years ago, I was told that the busiest time of year was in January and February. Well, today it's a little different. It's generally in May and April. So, secret number one, we don't need no stinking badges, or boundaries. And I know our boundaries are important to us and certainly to your constituents. And sometimes they're not. When you're dealing with transportation or air quality or open space, those boundaries really need to melt away. And they do a pretty good job of doing, or we do a good job of having them melt away in the Coachella Valley. And there's no other place that I know of that has true regional cost sharing on big transportation projects. I give the example of Jefferson Interchange. It was our top ranked project in what you all know as the TPPS, kind of our capital improvement program for the Coachella Valley. It was a $75 million project. There's a lot of state money, some federal money, and what was left over was for us. CVAG, the region, and the locals to share. That was about $30 million. Well, if I went to Indio and said, Indio, you've got to cough up, $8 or $9 or $10 million for this project, that's a lot of money for one community. They may have been able to do it, but we don't do it that way in the Coachella Valley. We actually look at these projects as having a regional benefit. And that project certainly benefits Indio substantially, but also La Quinta and Indian Wells, Coachella, all of our communities. And so we assign a benefit to that project across the Coachella Valley based on where trips are coming and going. And it wasn't just Jefferson Interchange. We did this at Date Palm. We did this at Indian. We did this at Bob Hope. And it's just remarkable to me. And for those, most of you probably haven't been elected officials somewhere else in the state of California. But if you were, can you imagine being an elected official at a place like Desert Hot Springs and saying, why are we paying for an interchange 30 miles away? Now, Mayor Mattis, it wasn't a lot of money. I think it was $50,000. But it's just absolutely unprecedented in the state of California that a community as far away as Desert Hot Springs would pay for part of a project in a community like Indio, 30 miles away. It's really cool. And you might remember why Jefferson was number one. It's because we do this priority setting. And the number one, number two, number three changes every 5-6 years. And in 2010, it was our number one ranked project. Our number one ranked projects right now include Monroe Interchange, Jackson, and Avenue 50 in Coachella. And last go around, we said it's not just about big interchange projects and arterial projects. It's also about active transportation and making our streets smarter, signal synchronization. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. And we have the flexibility here to respond to changing circumstances. You've got something on your agenda later that's going to speak to this issue. And there too, we looked at a situation and prioritized what needed to get done. And I wanted to note here, and you're going to hear it again on the item, even our elected officials in Desert Hot Springs said that the highest ranked projects for their community lie outside of their city boundaries. They're in Palm Springs on Indian and Gene Autry. So secret number two, I'm going to cover two of these at the same time, secrets two and three. It isn't 1989 anymore. And then I just gave a kind of nod to Paul Tolet that he sometimes books acts that were popular in 1989, still today. But 1989 was a good year for double helping of what we call self-help. And for those of you that are RCTC commissioners, you know what self-help means. It is counties like Riverside that tax themselves through sales tax to pay for needed transportation improvements. And so CVAG gets a share of that Measure A, along with the cities and county out here. Every time somebody buys a cup of coffee, that sales tax goes into our transportation fund pot. We use it to pay for projects. And for those of you who know something about sales tax measures, and I know RCTC is considered an additional sales tax measure a couple years ago and was put on the sideline for now. But sales tax measure advice goes like this. When you go to the voters, you tell them list specific projects that poll well. You have to, right? The public's going to be paying for this. Identify projects that poll well and you'll get your sales tax initiative passed. And we followed that advice in Riverside County, kind of. We actually said, and RCTC has led this, we've identified lots of projects in Western Riverside County every time we go to the voters. For the Coachella Valley, we just say, trust us. We say, we've got a process, and it's worked for, boy, 3 or 4 decades now. And that process is, we change our priorities every 5 or 6 years to based on need. Again, we ask the voters to give you, the decision makers, the elected officials, the leniency and latitude to change priorities over time. This is also unheard of in sales tax measures. And you select those priorities based on various criteria. And we know the world is changing and will continue to. Secret three, related to 1989, is the TUMF program. This Transportation Uniform Mitigation Fee. Whether you're in Palm Springs or Indian Wells or Coachella and you build a cafe or any other use, you get charged an impact fee. And it's the same impact fee throughout the Coachella Valley. And that impact fee is put into this regional pot at CVAG so that we pay for projects across the Coachella Valley, not just in any one community. Secret number four, to rob Peter to pay Paul. But Peter is more than cool with it. In fact, Peter ends off better off. So what do I mean? Well, Bob Hope Interchange. Some of you know this story. Others might hear it for the first time. It was our number one ranked project in 1994. In 2010, it was finally under construction. Trust me, finally under construction. It was a big deal. Took a long time. There's a lot of pressure to get this project underway. Caltrans was the lead agency. One Tuesday, I woke up to a call from a local person saying that work had stopped on the project. This is you know, 6 months into the project, there was a stop work order. My reaction was something like this. And I went to Dr. Ray Wolf, who was running Caltrans for the district at the time, and asked him what was going on, and he was equally surprised. What he found out is that the resident engineer at the time determined that the soil that was being used, it's called a borrow site, didn't meet specifications for building the mounds on both sides of the freeway to create that bridge structure. So they issued a stop work order and decided they were going to look for another borrow site, but they'd have to do environmental compliance on that borrow site. Anybody want to guess how long that could have taken? To start a new environmental compliance to find dirt for an interchange that had started up. Well, I mentioned that Caltrans was the lead agency. It was actually CVAG that was left holding the bag. While Caltrans was the lead agency, we signed on the dotted line saying, we're going to pay for part of the cost, and if there's cost overruns, the state grant was capped, the federal grant was capped, it was CVAG and our local agencies that would have to pick up the tab. So guess who's highly motivated to get this project done? Of course, it's the local agencies, CVAG, Rancho Mirage, particularly. We could have been left holding a bag of probably many millions of dollars for that delay. Enter CVCC, and I think we still might have the chair of CVC on. I know we have the vice chair, Linda Evans and Stephen Hernandez. CVCC had been created just a year and a half before. And CVCC, and I know many of you are commissioners there, we buy and manage 100,000 acres. And why do we do so? So that we don't have to go through the environmental compliance process and go to the altar of the wildlife agencies and the uncertainty associated with it. So in this case, we said, Caltrans, where do you want to find that dirt? It was very close to the interchange. It was not a habitat area. It was not a conservation area. They needed an acre of clearance, environmental clearance. What we said is CVCC said you could clear that project by just paying the multiple species fee and not doing additional environmental compliance. CVAG cut a check to CVCC for less than $10,000. Stop work lasted less than 24 hours. We're able to get those crews going and save taxpayers literally millions of dollars. It's awesome. Secret number five. It is not going to be deja vu all over again. We know we have congestion in the Coachella Valley. It certainly tapered off during the height of the pandemic, but it will continue to grow. There are various ways of measuring that, but we know it's happening. Well, one solution, and we know it is a solution, is called CV-Sync, where you synchronize the signals. You drive about the speed limit, you should hit many, many green signals in a row. So why did I call this, it's not going to be deja vu all over again? Because we've tried this before. We failed. We tried this about 20 years ago. And it worked for a short while. And for reasons of, you know, older systems and different systems, software incompatibility. And I kind of liken it to this. Do you remember the days of Microsoft Word? And WordPerfect. And anytime you tried to bring a document from one of those systems to the other, it was screwed up. But we have that kind of system with our traffic signal system in the Coachella Valley. And it's a lot more complicated than this. There are essentially three systems out there that have been used for years. And in some cities, there are multiple software that run the signals. And frankly, there's a lack of cooperation and leadership on all of our part. a sea bag and our local cities. Well, signal synchronization requires this. This is Spock. Yeah, everybody got that? And Spock would say, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. And what do I mean by that? You know, that signal synchronization, as you're driving along at the speed limit with the other 30 or 40 cars in what's called a platoon, you're on Highway 111, and you all stop because one car is making a left turn. That's exactly the opposite. And what happens over time, and this is a real life story, we had a mayor out here who's no longer an elected official who got up in the morning on Tuesdays and Thursdays, had to make a left turn out of his residential community off of Highway 111, and didn't like to wait 60 seconds. So he talked to the city manager, who talked to the public works director, and they changed the timing so he didn't have to wait as long. So one person could make a left turn in front of the 30 or 40 or more cars. Well, that has a huge impact on signal synchronization. It has an upstream and downstream impact. So this time around, the cities and county are in control of their system, absolute control. But we're going to do this together. We have 120 corridors, three of which are nearly complete, Highway 111, Washington, and Ramon. 530 signals. Each one of those little colors represents a signal in your city or county. But this time we said, instead of saying, oh, everybody keep your current software and it has to be tied forever to the software you purchased 30 years ago, we're replacing the controllers in every one of these traffic signal boxes. And it's an elegant and simple solution. Replacing the controller in one of those boxes, sometimes they're painted at the signals intersections, is $5,000. That's it. And we're putting in open source controllers, so they're not tied to a particular software manufacturer. This allows us to work seamlessly across the Coachella Valley. And yes, Mayor, while Rancho Mirage has its own system, we are already in coordination with you. We know we're going to be able to link up at your boundaries. So stay tuned. There's more ahead on signal synchronization. You're going to see major items on your agenda in the next 2 months related to the next corridors, which are a much larger project. Secret six, we've mastered the art of disguise in the Coachella Valley, right? Well, for those in this audience, they didn't know a lot about CV Link. I know most of you do. We kind of disguised our project as a road. We said, this isn't just a pedestrian path. It's not just a bike path. It's a roadway. It's a roadway for small electric vehicles. And to be honest with you all, long before other opposition to CV Link, we had opposition from the biking community about CV Link. They didn't like the fact that they'd be sharing the road with small electric vehicles called golf carts. Today, I think most bikes I see are electric vehicles. So the world has changed. And we brought in a mixed funding bag that really is unique to the Coachella Valley. There is no project in the nation that can claim they got money from a healthcare district, an air district, the state of California, and other sources. And just as a kind of acknowledgement of where we are, we of course built in Cathedral City and in Palm Springs and in Palm Desert. And we're building throughout the Coachella Valley, close to 15 miles right now are under construction. There's a bridge spans between La Quinta and La Quinta and Indio. A more recent version of what we're doing today. Some cool stuff going on. Secret 7. We plan on building a bike path disguised as a work of art and music, too. And, of course, this is a link to Paul Tillett's presentation. We see CV Link as the kind of freeway for bikers and small electric vehicles. And there'll be lots of other connections. Mayor Harnick, of course, you built one of those connections down San Pablo. Thanks for removing the tamarisk as you did so. And we're building the arts and music line, or we will. And I believe we're going to get funded. I really do on this. And of course, the extension into Desert Hot Springs, Mayor Mattis. And we're going to do something special there too. And Cathedral City's projects are already underway. And so we see these connections as a way to expand our safe routes to schools, to provide safe and convenient travel for our residents, and to do something special for visitors. So that's what I had to say. And then this Paul Tillett guy went on to talk about boring things like, you know, music festivals. So again, to the county supervisor who suggested that I do this, suggested this is a nice little refresher course. Any questions from all of you about the presentation, or for that matter, the substance behind the presentation?
Tom, if I could just comment, I think what's important is that, one, the leadership in 1989 was pretty remarkable, and we thank them and owe them a lot of for what's occurred in the Coachella Valley. I think the other part of this conversation is that all of our jobs is to connect the dots, you know, and what I see here is just the connecting the dots on how regionalism has worked and how we've been able to fund projects that not one city alone could probably fund on their own. And yet on the other end, right, if we think about where we want to go as a region, and, you know, I know in the past you've given a presentation about our financial standing, you know, we do have to consider, you know, that we're running out of money to do some of these regional projects and really kind of move the Coachella Valley to, you know, 2050, you know, and what are we going to look like then? And so maybe the conversation for all of us is, you know, what do we want to be known as we leave our mark? And really funding or really helping to set a vision for the future of the Valley.
Words of wisdom. I saw Mayor Harnick, you had your hand up.
I didn't really. I just wanted to put some clapping hands up there, and I now I discovered that wasn't an option. But it was like, yay, look at all the stuff we've done. And it has been a collaborative effort. I mean, we've worked long and hard for CV Link, CV Sync, and all those other projects. And it's all, you know, it's the old we're better together.
Yeah. And I'd like to give a shout out, just like Mayor Hernandez did, to our predecessors. But you all deserve a lot of credit, too. And I give these kind of presentations to remind you of how special the Coachella Valley is. And we oftentimes will focus on how we might not see things the same way. But the Coachella Valley works better as a region than any place in the state, as far as I could tell. I mean, we really do see this place as one region, not, you know, not five tribes and nine cities and a county. It really is one community, and we operate that way 9 times out of 10. So that was just a little show and tell. I know we've got some substance on the agenda. Mr. Chair, it's all yours.
All right. Well, let's get back to another project of significance. Item number B, this is design and engineering services for the Western Coachella Valley Flooding and Blow Sand Project. I know this is one that's dear to Mayor Mattis's priorities out in VHS and Palm Springs. So, Jonathan?
Good morning, Honorable Chair and members of the committee. I was going to say this is a dirty secret, but it's not really a secret that every year storms and major wind events force the closure of these regional roads. There's a few pictures of what the region has been through. You know, people traveling to work, school, and other locations can be cut off and forced to take long detours or stranded for hours trying to get, and particularly from Desert Hot Springs or Interstate 10 connecting to Palm Springs. Additionally, emergency services personnel are unable to use these roads, and it causes major safety concerns. Back in spring of 2019, the executive committee took action and initiated a flooding and blow sand study. Michael Baker International was selected as a consultant to work on that study. CBAG administered the project and worked closely with all of the stakeholders you see here in preparing that study. The study focused majority on the western Coachella Valley, and particularly regional arterials that interconnect communities north and south of I-10. You know, for decades, there's been these projects identified in the transportation project prioritization study along these regional corridors. But if you look at just Indian and Gene Autry Trail, each estimated at over $250 million. Those are two of the largest, but then if you look at additional projects where they have these flooded roadways in both Desert Hot Springs and Cathedral City, you get this cost adding up close to $600 million in stormwater improvements that are needed. So the objective of the flooding and blow sand study was to identify and evaluate alternative concepts that could provide a level of flood protection that was appropriate for a specific location. For example, at North Indian Canyon Drive, the study looked at the 2-mile stretch here between I-10 and the Chino Canyon levee. And the study focused improvements where they were needed most and used the latest technology and prefabricated brick structures to find a cost-effective solution, reducing the improvement cost that would have been over $250 million to something closer to $35 million. In addition, to reduce it even further, the study looked at some other options for emergency service vehicles only, putting in some prefab bridge structures, and also for some blow sand issues, putting in some billboards with some advanced warning signs and so forth. So applying this approach to the projects in the study area resulted in significant savings if we applied that same approach and looked at all the different areas and segments, both in Palm Springs and Desert Hot Springs, Cathedral City, and we effectively reduced that estimate of cost from over $600 million to close to $100 million to just solve the problem of keeping these roads open during a flooding event. So based on emergency access, traffic volume, stormwater flows, the study ranked these projects from low, medium, and high priority. And the executive committee directed staff to coordinate with Palm Springs, Cathedral City, Desert Hot Springs to further refine the project list and advance those projects that were identified in the highly constrained budget. This was part of the report that looked at the different budget options and the most highly constrained. We looked at working on one major priority, a high priority segment, along with two other medium priority segments. And these three segments were recommended to move forward. So CVAG worked with the project development team and done working on creating an RFP, which included Palm Springs, Cathedral City, Desert Hot Springs, and of course CVAG. And an RFP was released. We received one proposal from Michael Baker International. Our evaluation team, the project development team, looked at this proposal and is recommending that we proceed to negotiate a contract with Michael Baker International to do this work. We did extend the advertised time for this project, for the RFP, to try to get more interest. We did receive a couple of calls from some large engineering firms that just expressed that they were not going to be proposing because they had some capacity issues just with how busy everyone is. And another reason for moving forward with Michael Baker is they did prepare a very good proposal. They do have the benefit of having prepared the the flooding and blow sand study. They work closely with our team and the different agencies and stakeholders before. And so we're recommending to go move forward with MBI. The next steps is for CVAC to work with MBI to refine their scope of work, to expedite the proposed schedule. One thing to point out was in our RFP, we asked them to give us a proposal for basically everything they would need to do in order to get to construction. That included doing CEQA and NEPA. One of the reasons we asked for NEPA, which is the federal environmental clearance, was because we had some earmark requests in with our representatives. And if we had received any federal money, we would have had to do the NEPA. Unfortunately, or perhaps fortunately for this schedule, those earmarks didn't go through for these segments. So we're working with the consultant to come up with an expedited schedule that does not include NEPA and can look at CEQA and some of the existing conditions as outlined in the report to expedite the delivery. We'll bring a contract back to the executive committee at the next meeting in September. Along with that contract will be reimbursement agreements with the affected agencies. CVAG will administer the contract in coordination with the project development team, which includes all the agencies and stakeholders involved. So our recommendation is to authorize the executive director to negotiate and execute a professional service agreement with Michael Baker International to provide these services for what we're calling the Western Coachella Valley Flooding and Blow Sand Projects Phase 1. That concludes my report, and I'm available to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? Scott? Mayor Mattis?
Yeah, I don't have your question. I just have some comments, if that's appropriate at this time.
Yes.
Thanks. I just wanted to say that Tom and I were able to do an interview on KESQ recently, last week or so, which obviously, you know, as elected officials or executive directors, we always get about 15 to 20 minutes on camera, and it lasts about 10 seconds when actually the story is written. So even though we obviously expressed our concerns on emergency access to the trauma center, which is one of the main points on trying to move this along, there's a lot of other concerns with traffic and flow and getting people to work and those types of things. But I wanted to say thank you to Tom for, you know, getting that all coordinated. And I think the report came out pretty well for the most part. When moving forth on this, it is a little concerning. We only had one proposal. You always want to get multiple proposals and see how you can, you know, evaluate those together or against each other. And so it is, you know, we're at that point where obviously there's a lot of work in the Coachella Valley and the state, and we have to take what we get so we can move this project along. So I hope that doesn't stop this from moving along. I think the current firm has proven that they can do the work. I also want to make sure that the stakeholders are interviewed during this process. And when I talk about stakeholders, it's not just Desert Hot Springs, Palm Springs, it's a lot of other stakeholders. One of the biggest concerns I have when moving these projects is we get to a certain place and the environmental groups seem to step in the last minute. Let's bring them in in the forefront and let's talk about it. I know a lot of it's protected by the MSACP, but that doesn't stop the environmental groups from stopping things at the 11th hour. So let's bring them in. Let's have a conversation with them. Let's show them what we're trying to do while we're doing this process. Flooding is obviously one of the major concerns when building these, whatever we build, I should say. But the bigger issue is the wind events and how do we be innovative and how do we be forward thinking when it comes to this. That's something I think we definitely have to focus on. I know Tom's heard this a million times from me. You saw the pictures from what Jonathan showed, and you'll see the sand that just piles up, and it's, you can't stop it from moving, and you're never going to build that area to divert it. So we have to find innovative ways to stop that from closing those roads. And how do we do that is the question. So moving forward, I think that's a huge conversation. And just to add to that, the changeable message signs are coming about. I know a couple of them are in construction right now. I know one at Desert Hot Springs is getting close to hopefully the material being delivered soon. And that's going to be a big piece also in moving traffic. But again, just wanted to put my two cents in. I think this is a project that myself and the city leaders in Palm Springs, Dennis Wood and Mayor Milton have really pushed hard on, is trying to find access on these roadways there. So I hope we have all your support.
If you move, Indian Wells will second.
And I will move that.
There's a second by Indian Wells. I do appreciate your level of involvement and just detail on this project. So that's what it's going to take to get it done. There is a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call, please?
And Mayor, you don't need a roll call.
We don't know. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
And,
aye.
Thank you.
And, we'll move on. And is there anybody opposed? We do have to record if there's an opposition or an abstention.
Is there anyone in opposition? Seeing none, motion carries. We move on to item number C. This is amendment number 2 to the reimbursement agreement for the Avenue 48 project between Van Buren Street and Dillon Road widening. This is Eric. Eric, welcome.
I'm going to have the pleasure of delivering this one again. Eric's at an APWA conference. So for Avenue 48, the Avenue 48 widening project is located between Van Buren and Dillon Road. The north half of the project is in Riverside County. The south half of the project is in City of Coachella. The existing segment consists of two paved lanes of traffic. There's no pedestrian facilities, no bicycle facilities. The segment is ranked in the top 10% of the current TPPS. I believe it's tied at number 10 in project in the valley. There's also been several fatalities on this segment, which involved pedestrians, which initiated the initial request back in 2016 for this project. And going back to 2016, the executive committee approved the planning and environmental phases work for this project for the $450,000. The county also has been selected as the lead to move this project forward. Again, in September of 2020, moving on to do the design and right-of-way phases, another $650,000 was programmed towards this project. And with the recommendation today, or the request today, is to move on to construction. And so the request was for an additional $2.5 million from regional funds for the project. There's also a request to extend the time trigger for a year until next August. So the recommendation for you all is to approve amendment number 2 and extend the time trigger. I'm available to answer any questions if you have them.
No, I'll comment that I appreciate the fact that this project is moving now to the next phase, which is the construction phase. This is a project that is greatly needed out there, and it was one that was, moved because of fatalities. And in fact, it was, I don't know if you all remember Dan Martinez, the city manager of Indio, and used to be with the county, but his aunts actually were killed on this. On this segment of road between the county and the city of Coachella.
If that's a motion, Indian Wells seconds.
I will motion to approve this item, and there's a second by Indian Wells. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, motion carries. We'll move on now to item number D. This is election of the Transportation Committee officers. This is the elect a Transportation Committee Chair and Vice Chair for fiscal year 2023.
Tom? Chair, we do this every year. Your current chair, of course, is the mayor from Coachella. Your vice chair is the mayor from Indian Wells. Nominations are now open. I see Mayor Reed. Do you have a nomination?
I do, Mr. Kirk. I've had the honor and privilege of serving as vice chair under Chairman Hernandez for the last year. I think he's done an outstanding job. I know that he's got a number of projects in his area. I think it would be appropriate to reelect Chairman Hernandez for another year so that he can continue to serve the Coachella Valley and keep these projects moving, and to that extent, I nominate Mr. Hernandez, Mayor Hernandez.
Is there a
Second. I'll second that.
All right. We have a motion.
May I please just add a friendly amendment and add Dana Reed, Mayor Reed, as our vice chair and do it in one fell swoop?
I'll second that as well.
Well, we'll take that as a slate. Maybe somebody can make a motion to that whole slate rather than a couple of nominations with different. Mayor Harnick, why don't you make an entire.
So moved. I will move that the current chair and vice chair are reelected for the following year.
Mayor, why? So we have Mayor Gregory. Is that you or?
Well, I used to be Gregory. Mayor.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, I second it.
All right. Well, sorry for those of you that intended to have your nominations in the minutes. We do have a motion and a second for a slate. Are there any other nominations before we take a vote? Seeing and hearing none, all in favor say aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Seeing none, it is unanimous. Congratulations.
Thank you. Look forward to another year. We'll move on now to item number 7. This is information. No items. With that, we'll move on to item number 8. This is public comment.
Mr. Chairman, could Tom just briefly comment on 7E as in easy?
Yes.
Just to, so that make sure everyone knows what we're talking about.
Hopefully you all received a little survey from us over the summer. And we did this last summer as well. Last summer, we asked our committee members, as it appeared we were coming out of a pandemic, do you want to return to in-person meetings? And we were a bit surprised by the results. They were really overwhelmingly in favor of sticking with virtual meetings. This year, we did the same in consultation with Chair Hernandez. I sent out a survey. And again, the results were overwhelmingly in support of continuing on with virtual meetings. If I remember correctly, those of you on this committee actually were 100% in support of virtual meetings. And I suppose there's some logic there that if we're trying to get people to use alternative transportation methods or perhaps work virtually when they can, let's keep people off the roads and the negative impacts associated with driving. So we are suggesting that committees continue on to be virtual. The one that may not be is the General Assembly meeting, where it's kind of a 50-50 split. We've had some fun General Assembly meetings virtually, but I think a lot of people do miss the in-person contact that comes from seeing 50 of your colleagues or 75 of them in one place. So I'll continue to consult with the chairs of each of the committees and the chair of CVAG, but at this stage, we are suggesting virtual meetings continue. You're welcome.
Move on now to item number 8. This is public comments on non-agenda items. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak? Madam Clerk, do we have anybody?
Chair, we did not receive any written comments. I do not see any hands raised.
All right, we'll move on to announcements. The next meeting of the Transportation Committee will be held on Monday, November 7th, 2022 at 10 a.m. And the next meeting of the Executive Committee will be held on Monday, September 26th, 2022 at 4:30 p.m. via Zoom. With that, we are adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you.